Blog Talk Radio.
Truth is out there. That what you just heard was the theme to The X-Files, which was composed by Mark Snow, who's an American composer born in 1946, who mostly composed for television shows, and the list is extensive for the shows that he's done. Of course, The X-Files is one of them. Millennium would be another one. Let's see, The Love Boat, Heart to Heart, Dynasty, T.J. Hooker. That's just to name a few. He's been around for a while, and his works are well known. If you've never heard of the guy, check him out. The X-Files, believe it or not, this theme actually reached number 2 on the UK singles chart back in 1991. How about that? And with that, I'm going to hand the mic over to Jimmy Matter.
Yeah, hey, man. This is Jay Hatter, along with Stephen Ander K, our resident Andorian. Also with us is Deborah Lee. She does all the heavy lifting in the back, so we can sit out here and look pretty. Hi, Deb.
Hey, Hatter. Hello, Stephen.
Hello.
So we got a great subject tonight. We're going to hit on UFOs. Everything from Barney and Betty Hill, abducted in the 1960s. Randlesham Forest incident, Sag Harbor, Roswell, and the Travis Walton abduction. Probably the most celebrated of the abductions.
Yeah.
And to hit on also that the rest of the world treats UFO sightings a little different than we do. One fact, Russians during the Cold War encouraged the people to report UFOs, for they figured they would get intelligence on United States spy technology. But nobody was harassed or shamed for telling their story, to where ours, if you are abducted or if you witness one, if you witness an abduction, you go under investigation for murder, for the disappearance of the person. If you do get abducted, probably your boss isn't going to like the media hanging around. They're not. Your relationships are going to fall apart. Your family's going to split in two if you're lucky. Save half of them, and everything you say from now on will not be trusted. And that's happened time and time again to people.
Yeah.
And that makes it bad when you have these people that want just the notoriety. Want to become famous for that. Giving false reports, that just muddies the water, you know.
Right.
Especially
when you're.
I like
to part like, to
say that again.
Especially when the false reports are so easily investigated and they figure out that it was, you know, a fake. That just kind of does. It does. It taints everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and there are actual, like, MUFON. MUFON was mentioned in a number of X-File episodes, and I think they were part of the smoking gun. Remember with the Minutemen, the three guys that were reporters for the smoking gun? X-File?
Yeah. Yeah, the Lone Gunman.
The Lone Gunman. That's right. That's right. That's right. The Lone Gunman. Right, right, right. Yeah, they even had, there's a gentleman out here on the West Coast named George Knapp. He was quite a celebrity radio announcer, if I remember right, well off in a big market of Los Angeles. He witnessed something one night and has devoted his life to reporting or taking reports of people that have information. Everybody from Bob Lazar and the Area 51 reports to the pilot that called him while he was flying over Area 51, and then in the I should have had that loaded up. He's in a panic. He knows he's done something that he shouldn't have done. He's trying to relate it to George Knapp on the air, and then it just goes silent. A lot of stories. George Knapp does the what's the Knapp report? But it's late at night. It's a famous, like a blog radio. It's a radio show. I've called in before and talked to one of the scientists. Can't remember his name, but asked him about Bob Lazar, and his only answer was he's crazy and he's not to be believed, and that was the end of that conversation. So if you know anything about Bob Lazar, he's anything but crazy. But
have a look on the channel.
You know, okay. Standing here in the studio.
I always try to keep an open mind about things. I prefer that because I've seen some pretty weird stuff in my time that kind of makes me believe that there's more than some government official is telling us. And
yeah,
all the way to we talked about just a few months ago where I saw that weird light out in the middle of the woods while we were driving to my son's house.
I remember when you talked about that, how freaky.
Yeah. And it's not been there since. I don't know what the hell it was.
Wow. Yeah, you know, to be abducted, it's got to be, besides one of the most bizarre things that ever freaking happened to you. I mean, I believe they're real. I mean, what if you were abducted or saw one? Like I said, you'd be under investigation or call a Looney Tune.
Yeah.
Relationships would fall apart. And like you said, only half of your family is going to accept you again, and that's probably the crazier half. Your face goes on videos of, probably where you don't want it to go. You have to assume a new name, a new life. You can't talk about UFOs when the subject gets brought up. You just got to shrug your shoulders and sort of laugh along with the rest of them. All the time knowing that you've been abducted. You can't tell the doctor about the marks. Once in a while, you take the metal detector and check yourself, make sure there's no metal involved. Been placed inside of you. You can't remember. Your nightmares turn real. You don't know what your dreams are. Go away. You try fighting. You don't want to go to sleep. You don't want to see it again.
Yeah.
You know, and when you and if you try writing about it, your hands tremble and break it out in a sweat and shorter breath. It gets exhausting just trying to remember. Everything comes at you so fast. Your dreams are gone, like I said. And every noise you hear, all the pets that end up hiding. Back yourself into a corner where you can see everything in front of you. Make foil hats and shotguns and swords and knives. You know, none of them is going to do you any good. You want to call someone, but you can't share the information. So you hide out in a cave.
Yeah, it's got to be a very traumatic thing. I couldn't imagine. Not something I want to find out.
Well, it goes on your belief. Could it be possible? Of course. Is it probable? There's too much out there.
Yep. Yep.
You know, I try to take it with. I get it.
I thought he was wearing his foil hat.
I think it's a convenient excuse this time.
Yeah.
Put that hat back on, Hatter. What the hell? I can't find
it. I hate it when they do that. Yeah. Yeah.
There it is. The truth is out there. I had a friend one time. He told me about he was walking at night. This was at the town I grew up in. And he saw a bright light up in the sky kind of just zoom in from the left. And then another one zoomed in from the right, and they just sat next to each other, and then they zoomed opposite directions again. Really, really fast. I don't know how many other people he ever told that, but, you know, I believed him.
Damn.
There's some weird stuff.
Oh, yeah, the Tic Tacs. That right there should spin your head. Navy Department releases actual video and audio of fighter pilots having their planes run circle around by these things that look like Tic Tacs. Freedom of information.
What was that? That sounds like
put it back. What the hell?
Go.
Okay. All right. All right. Do you remember? Do you remember the television show V?
Oh yeah, love that show. Mark Singer.
Now, what would you call a racism that belong that involves species?
I don't know.
Well, you, let's say they make contact and they give you a book and saying that, you know, how to serve man and to
right, yeah, it's a cookbook.
They end world hunger. In my head. Yeah, they end world hunger. They get everybody. They do all the work for us. Nobody has to do any work. And then they give you a holiday trip to their planet and back for free.
Yeah.
5,000 at a time. 5,000 at a time.
That was a quick one.
They like quickies too. Just say. Did I hear Kay? Hi, Kay. Hello.
Now, there's always been the, how did you feel when, I think it was Ronald Reagan, when he was president, they sent a solid gold record on one of the, was it Voyager 2? When they launched it. And it explains our biology, the what we're made of, the physiology, also music, some equations that would tell us how we count our numeric system, this kind of thing. Now, a lot of people said, don't do that. You're leading them right back to us, and it could be like the Borg.
Yeah, it's true. Or V.
Now, yeah. Or some angry Andorians. You don't know.
Yeah, a little War of the Worlds going on, going for the common cold.
Yeah. You know, I wrote a verse about how Starbucks saved the world. They came down. They came down early one morning and saw these people like zombies getting out of their cars, walking into this building. And when they come out, they were like fast as lightning, man, and then talking so fast they couldn't understand him. So they figured that this is how they recharged, and hail Starbucks. It scares them enough that they go away. They don't want anything to do with the humans and their secret power sauce.
Yeah. I like that secret power sauce. Two cups every morning.
I think I
explained
it a little better than the right. Maybe I could not. Oh, that wasn't smart.
Yeah. What about the one that Kay wrote to? That could be a possibility as well, as they live, that they're already here and they're running the show.
Was there a question? Yeah. Well, I think they're going to let us go on to the brink, and then they're going to expose themselves and go, nah, wait a minute. Time freaking out.
Yeah.
or maybe they're waiting for us to, maybe 8 billion, 9 billion is too many for them. Maybe they want us to try to egg us on into Third World War. Who knows?
Yeah.
What am I doing? Oh.
Or hit us with a little COVID.
Or what?
Or hit us with a little COVID.
Oh, yeah. And the Delta variant, yeah, sure. They learned that just how we infected the continents back in the day. Let's go over to this shore, sail over this way, and kill all the people unknowingly. Smallpox.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, history in itself is incomplete and usually tainted. Because it has to be, you need a nation to be have some kind of loyalty somehow, or you not a sovereign state. Oh, there's a picture of me. Yeah, I don't know. I would say be very careful about poking these things. Don't shoot one down, this kind of thing. Might not be smart.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, Hatter saying that, and what popped into my mind was ID4, Independence Day, where they're on rooftop, and you hear the newscaster saying, do not shoot at the aliens. You might inadvertently start an interstellar war, that's what I just thought of when you said that. Don't poke them. Don't shoot at them. I know you haven't seen that movie either, right?
No, I've seen that one.
Oh, cool! Did you see both? There was a newer, like ID. There was two. I like the first one better.
I've not seen it.
Was Will Smith in the one you saw, Hatter?
Yeah, Independence Day.
Okay, yeah, that's the one they say it in. When the idiots are on the rooftop saying, I want to come hang out with Elvis. I'm like, oh, gosh.
I found it. Found it.
Starbucks saved the world.
Now Starbucks saved the world. It goes like this. I strongly suggest our plans be revised. I've seen how the humans power up, recharging their strength while standing in line, this place they worship, Starbucks. Each dawn they walk like the dead, awakened to the work that's planned they do not discuss, speaking in tongue of a foreign land, hot venti skinned half-calf shot. Thank you so much. Smiling as if they know we are here, they leave without the energy times 10 of us. This place will save them will save them from certain death. This God they pray, Starbucks. I scanned an aged female this morning, hoping to have some century-ending luck. She threw me over the patio fence while sipping a cup from Starbucks. Our mission is done. We cannot win or fight a god with such powers. This nectar is fuel for these human beings. We should leave within the hour. How Starbucks saved the world.
That's right. Yeah, I guess all right. I like the idea of the old lady throwing him over the fence.
Yeah.
Give a little high.
Didn't spill a drop either. Yeah, that was for a podcast. I don't know how I did. Did I do any good on that one? It's a long time ago.
You got the goal.
I was laughing because Silk's comment is, love the aliens looking on the humans and seeing if we are caffeine powers, scaring them off. I get a kick out of seeing what people wrote. Somebody wrote, good take on the prompt. I like the alien invasion. I thought this was cool, and still, doesn't matter what year you pluck them out from, Hatter, you got that trademark Hatter rhythm, and I see it's a gold winner too. It's pretty cool.
Cool. Yeah.
You want to comment, huh?
Well, this is different. I don't drink coffee, so I don't know where I would fall in place here. But, yeah, this is cool. It's humorous. I can picture that person being thrown over the fence.
Yeah.
That's a cool rate.
We ever sat in front of one of the coffee shops and just sort of watched the people go in and out? Right before work, you know? If you're a people watcher, go sit in there and get a hot chocolate or something and just watch.
Everybody jonesing for their caffeine fix. I'd be one of them standing in line shooting daggers at you. Don't talk to me until I get my coffee. Just saying.
I was going to write a screenplay type of thing for when the internet goes down, everybody runs to Starbucks. You know, there's a fetal position in the corner screaming, running down the middle of the road. No internet. Somebody plugged it. Somebody reset the modem. But you know what? That's not far from the truth. What would happen? You've seen the videos of when the parents have had enough. Son comes home and all his games and the Xboxes and everything are in a pile, and father and dad runs over it with a mower when they've had enough, and see the meltdown.
And then they have the second meltdown when they realize how much money they just rolled over with the lawnmower.
I think the parents know it. There are a couple of them that they trash their own things. It's just the meltdowns. One family did an intervention and finally got the guy to get out of to give it up and go on a retreat type thing in the desert. And he's a spokesman for it now. How it can poison the mind so easy. The games and the social internet, because you're somebody there. You're somebody on the internet, or if you don't feel you're anybody somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
It's the dark side of the dark side of the internet that there's going to be more. I would be afraid to hear the statistics of what use are underground, basically.
Yeah.
They actually fear their kids because they're afraid of them.
You know, things have definitely changed.
Yeah. They said the same thing about rock and roll.
Yeah. But I mean, I would have told you that my dad could have kicked my ass all the way up until the cancer started taking him.
Yeah, I could say about the same with my dad. He's a little nonsense.
I don't know. There's a lack of respect from kids nowadays, and it shows. And that's one of the reasons why, in my opinion, professional teams are having to change their name and that kind of
thing. Yeah. It's ridiculous. It's like they wanted to change the attack helicopters from Apache and Longbow and Chinook and all this, and it was some white girl. They went to the Indian nations and asked them, and they said they're proud to have the name on those machines.
Right, yeah. I was telling that to my I was talking to my mother actually when we were over at my mom's.
Yeah.
And saying kind of the same thing, because I remember them interviewing some people from the Indian nations about the Cleveland Indians and how they were saying they were proud because it was an honor that they were honoring the first American Indian to play baseball by calling themselves the Indians. And you got this white guy with a yellow head earring saying he wants the name needs to be changed because it's offensive.
You know, Redskins too. Our fans were very upset. I think they should go Washington Banana Slugs. Just go ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, did you hear what Cleveland's going to be?
No, what?
The Cleveland Guardians.
But the way the logo looks, it still looks like it has the Indian
logo
to it.
Wow. Guardians. Steve, right one.
Yeah, it has to do with a bridge that's in Cleveland, too, that has these stone guardians carved into it. It has to do with that. But still,
okay.
I just...
Good choice. Good choice if you have to. I don't agree having to. Once you open that door, they opened it a long time ago. It's Pandora's box.
That's what I said, too.
I mean,
when they finally gave in and gave up Chief Wahoo, I said that was it. They gave them an inch. Now they're going to want a mile.
Yep. Yeah, they always use tearing down the statues, this kind of thing, of Jefferson Davis and the generals.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that? How do you feel about that? For one thing, the Civil War started because of taxation without representation. The South thought they weren't getting enough money for the textiles. And the North was the manufacturers. That's what caused the rift between the states. Abraham Lincoln knew that he needed to abolish slavery, but he thought it would split the country if he did it all at once. And that sound thought, it was just used in history. I mean, to free the slaves, but it wasn't the reason for the war. The war started because of the rich, the owner of the manufacturers, the plants, and the owners of the plantations. So half those guys didn't even know why they were fighting.
Yeah. Fighting family at that.
Yeah. It was an invasion. I forget what general it was, but he came out of the Civil War, and when he went west, that's the buffalo hunters they paid. They wanted to slaughter all the buffalo because they knew the Indian tribes depended on them, and that would weaken them and get them to go onto reservations and take their land. So we're not taught that in school. You can only learn from the past. You can't bring it up and change today from the past unless it's a human right, civil rights.
Exactly.
You
start erasing
every
the past.
Every country's history is written a little different. That's just the way it is because man's flawed. And if you don't understand that, you're not worth having the conversation with because you've got to start somewhere. And bringing up the past, the evils of the past, is not the way to do it. I think Martin Luther King, that's what he is all about. Change today. So, and our history is our history. You can't change that either. You could move to Canada, move to Mexico. But don't force it on us, you know?
Right.
I think Megyn Kelly said it best once. She had a three people come on her show. Megyn Kelly was a talk host on Fox TV. And the question of what offended these people, and they all said what offended them. And she goes, okay, it offends you. What's the name of your doctor? Have you lost sleep? Have you lost weight? Can you not eating? Are you delusional? Are you on medications? Because if you're not offended. You don't agree with something, but you're not offended. So I think they need to define the word offended. I'm going to say it, just like racism. It's such a stupid argument because it's all about intent. If I say something and slip, did I intend it to be racist? No, because I'm not a racist. But something I might slip and say something that you thought or took it that way, but I didn't mean it.
Ooh.
I didn't mean it racist. So it's got to be intent. People should be able to say what they want, as long as there's no intent of violence or intent to put somebody down. And they grouped it all together into one to where you can't even speak about it. Okay. It's just my point is anything man touches is tainted in some way. If we don't screw it all up, it's usually written down in history the way they want it to go and be in history. I think history is being changed right before our eyes right now, and nothing you can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
But the alien abduction. Yeah, I was going to say the aliens better come down and save us. I welcome it.
Yeah.
Come on. Take me. Yeah, there's just too much evidence and too many reputable people that have seen things that you can't explain. When a professional observer, first responders, cops, highway patrol, they're all trained observers. And when they come forward and tell you something, I think unless the guy's got a background, you might want to sit and listen to him.
Yeah.
And I think it would be great if they came down and they make all the animals can talk.
I'm not sure if we want to know what they have to say.
Exactly. We don't. Or learn to read. The cow start reading shit and go, whoa, 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 whoa. You got a what to me?
Yeah.
So let's go around the board. Do you believe in aliens as defined, or what do you think we're seeing? Deborah?
I'm sorry, what was that question?
Do you believe in aliens as basically it's being defined, or what do you think we're seeing?
I don't not believe. I mean, I can't say that I've seen an alien, but I don't see any reason why they are not there. I mean, we're here.
Yeah, closest thing to physical evidence we have, besides Bob Lazar's story, and that's we could go out and talk about that later, but is these naval videos that have been released.
Yeah.
And the audio from these fighters. You can hear the worry in one of them. The one, he's just going, oh, he realizes these things could take us out of the sky. Let's not piss them off, because they're trying to catch them. And there's no way you can catch them. They just leave them in the dust and then appear again beside them.
Cool.
And there's physical. Wow. I mean, they show up on radar. They show up on silent the satellite scans. So, what do you believe, Stephen? And if not, what do you think they are? What are we watching?
I definitely believe, because I think it's extremely egotistical if we were to think that in this huge universe we're the only ones. There's just no way possible for that. There's something else out there, and I do believe that they've been here, if they're not here already too. Maybe it's an alien
so
race.
Could they exist on a different plane, like one of the dimensions? Now we know there's 11 dimensions, including time, and we can only see in four of them if you include time as one. So the three dimensions and then time, we know is rushing by us. But they say there are six other dimensions, or seven other dimensions, and we can only guess what that is like. So besides the enormity of what it would take, even traveling at warp 10, Captain, it would take forever to go across just the Milky Way. Because it's hundreds of millions of light years.
Yeah.
So could they either be walking through a door or learned how to open and close the doors into where we now can see them or touch them? Or is it that bending space that Einstein talks about? You don't go as the crow flies, you can bend space where you go through a wormhole singularity and end up anywhere in the far.
I mean, who knows what kind of technology they might have. So anything's possible. And I've even had the idea too that maybe ghosts are actually somewhere where the dimensions are thinner and you can kind of see something in a different dimension. It's not a ghost, it's actually somebody that's in a different dimension.
And there's a lot of validity into our consciousness is more than just on this plane. Yeah, and you're also talking a time span. You know, you go if you're intergalactical travel, your time, you can't come back and report to your boss because it's 20,000 years later, and you've only been gone 2 years. So this that aspect that prevents a lot of what you think we might be able to do the enormity of the universe. I don't think we can grasp in our head how big it is, how fast it's rushing by, and it's we can tell, you know, that those numbers get it ridiculously large. So I think whatever's here, it's more of a dimensional plane that can swallow people, walk through it and can't get back, or the entities on the other side have figured out how to open the door into our dimensions. They could be around us right now, and we just don't know. It's a different world. We don't know they're there. Whether they know we are would only be a guess. I mean, there's so much we don't know. And I think we're going to get to physics and the quantum theories and such to where it's almost going to be a mystic, magical thing to where God particles are made of a thought rather than universes full of iron and carbon. And that's what theorists like Stephen Cox and Foucault and Tyson. I love listening to them talk about it. I'm doing a very poor job of trying to combine these things, but you know, it's all possible. I like the odds that they gave. What are the odds that we are here? that we've existed through the time. The mass extinction theory is sort of put a wrinkle into that theory, but what it says is basically I lost my train of thought. The damn wormhole. Just the possibilities. The possibilities is oh yeah, I would say that like the God particle. How much smaller is matter? All the theorists, except for one that I know of, all of the brilliant, what they call the brilliant minds, believe in a higher power, that something created this. There's no way the numbers add that we should still be here. It's described once as if you take dice and every side of every dice has a letter, and you spell out a 12 word sentence, and you take all those dice and put them in a cup and you throw them out of the cup. How many times do you have to roll that before all those letters line up in the exact position to spell that word that you started with? How many times would you have to do that? They say that's the odds of us being here the way through time and creation, that kind of thing, which makes us an experiment.
Yeah, I definitely could see that, and that's been played on quite a bit too. I mean, sometimes I think the pyramids and all that were developed by aliens. I know.
Yeah, explain that.
The one thing that I always play on is that Roswell, the Roswell incident.
Yeah.
Because I always talk about how technology all of a sudden just skyrocketed at an enormous speed after that incident that they don't want to admit happened. So it's just, I mean, there's something out there. The truth is out there.
It is out there. And with our help, we will get to it. No, I think Roswell was fed by the government non-report and the leak of Area 51. That's where Bob Lazar walks in. Now, if you don't know who Bob Lazar is, he was an MIT student who was approached to do some work for the Defense Department, and he ends up at Groom Lake. And he said he was there. I can't remember how many times, but he had seen things, a saucer type craft that was in one corner. When he walked by, he reached out and touched it once. It was like the third time he walked by it. He touched it. He got sort of reprimanded for doing that. He's not supposed to talk about anything that he sees and blah, blah, blah. His job was to reverse engineer. He was on that, one of those guys. He came out wanting to tell the story that they had alien craft in a hangar. When he did, his life changed forever. Now, a lot of them call him a nut, not to be trusted and everything. He had witnesses, this one ex-general, that he walked to the Los Alamos laboratories, and everybody there knew him. And they didn't stop him. They just walked. They knew who he was, and he walked in with a stranger, and they were able to access the laboratories, the buildings. And then the next time he went out there, Bob Lazar said next time he walked out there after the press had got a hold of it, and they acted like they didn't know him. And the one lady said that she had been threatened. They took everything from his schooling, and there's no record of Bob Lazar at these universities. He had and on the payroll, because they was asked who paid your check, and he said the Defense Department. And he came up with a with a check stub, but there was no evidence of Bob Lazar ever being on the payroll at Groom Lake, the Defense Department, or the Air Force. So they did a good job on trying to stifle his story. The thing is, he's been telling the same story for over 30 years, and it hasn't wavered a bit. He tells, at the time, he's been able to tell a little more than he could better because he didn't want to get other people in trouble. He knew what he could say and what he couldn't. There's a good interview on Joe Rogan. If you look up Joe Rogan's podcast, he interviews the general is also interviewed. You see his name. There'll probably be a link there. But Bob Lazar, Joe Rogan, it's very interesting. And anybody that has lied, the story will change. And they've tried needling him on certain aspects and on some of the interviews and stuff. And he's true to the story. And he tells why. This is not a crazy dude. I mean, what they make him out to be. But it's ruined his life. He's able to write books now, but for the longest time he was shunned and he was in hiding. He was feared for his life.
Yeah.
But his story is quite remarkable. Who he was and what they did to try to, like I said, I called it the George Knapp Show late one night, and Gerald Friedman was his name, the scientist, and I'd seen him on TV before. And when I brought up Bob Lazar, he ended the conversation real saying that it's not to be trusted. It's nothing. Which makes me maybe take another look at Bob Lazar. And he's back out. He's written some books, I guess. But go to Joe Rogan and Bob Lazar. It's a very interesting interview. I don't get these people who think there are actual colonies underwater of these aliens, the reports of the crafts going in the water. And that brings up Shag Harbor. That's what Shag Harbor was all about. This ship hit the water, and they could see the light underneath for a while and then disappeared. Or the inner world where they live inside the earth.
Oh yeah, I've heard that one.
Yeah. I don't know. It's that's something you would think we could get a definite yes, no, but I think government don't know either.
Yeah. Well, you know, that would definitely bring a whole thing about Atlantis back, wouldn't it, if there's a underwater bubble.
Yeah. Yeah, Atlantis. Where do you think it was?
Yeah, I don't know. I had actually not heard of that until you just told me about it, so I'm looking at it right now over in Nova Scotia.
The Shag Harbor?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some guys who witnessed some of these things who have dedicated their life into investigating. So, you know, I don't think people normally do that. I think they see something and change it. I know they saw something. So, okay, next question. Is Kay with us too?
Yeah, she's here.
Yeah.
So what does Kay believe? We got little green men living among us?
Probably so. I would have to agree with everybody that there's more than what's here. Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet they're not green, though.
in our lifetime, will there ever be contact? Will they prove to us they're here?
In our lifetime, probably not.
Probably not, yeah.
Well,
they
gotta
wait
until
we show
warp capability. Who do that?
They're waiting till we show warp capability.
Is that what they're waiting for?
That's what they did in Star Trek.
You know the Tic Tacs. You might be a little worrisome. They could be drones.
Yeah.
They could be hatched out there in the outside our atmosphere, and we're just picking the time to harvest.
Got a little cooking device going on.
Click.
Maybe one's different. They're huge. They got like the Big Dipper painted on the bottom of them, right?
Maybe.
Now, after Roswell, the next big abduction was Barney and Betty Hill. They were a couple, very low key, because he was an African American and she was white. And in the early '60s, that wasn't something that you paraded around too much. So they were a low key couple. Anyway, they were traveling on the highway and they were stopped. All the electricity stopped in their car and they had to pull over. And what they found themselves hours later at different, I don't know if it was the same spot or anything, but several hours had gone by and it was just like, they just thought minutes. She was, she had radio, they both had radiation marks on them. So they had to end up going to a doctor, and the doctor eventually, they told them what had happened. They end up, long story short, they end up going under hypnosis, and under hypnosis, a lot of the what had happened came out. Betty described having a test done on her that we had no similar test at the time, but it's the same type when they take the water out of the sac of a fetus to see the health of the baby. What's that? It's a test they do now. Well, anyway, she described it back then, and that's what she did was describe something that came decades later.
Well, you know what happened there, right? They heard the name Betty and Barney, and they thought they were abducting the rebels from the Flintstones, and they were really disappointed, so they sent them back.
Well, free trade.
Could be. Because when you hear Betty and Barney, who do you think of?
Yeah, it's true. But you know what it made me think of is actually American Horror Story, because they played on that.
Oh.
And only they switched it where the guy was white and he was married to the black lady and the UFO came. Remember? Asylum?
It's really funny that you mentioned that horror story. I'm on season 1, episode 4.
Well, it's good, isn't it?
Murder House. Yeah.
I hear there's some really good seasons, so I figured, what the hell?
Yeah.
It's a great show. It really is.
And you guys keep doing shows on them, so I figured it must be decent. Like I said, I got season 1, episode 4, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's freaky. So I'm looking forward to more.
Yeah, wait till you get to the hotel season.
Murder House, Asylum, and Hotel are my personal favorites.
I know. You didn't like Roanoke.
They tear your heart out, but it also is awesome.
You didn't like Roanoke, but I liked Roanoke.
Yeah, it was kind of slow that season, in my opinion.
I liked it.
Yeah.
What was your favorite season? Isn't there like 9?
Yeah, there's 9. Season 10 actually comes on August 25th. I'm looking forward to that one because I hear it's got mermaids and aliens in that one.
There you go.
Cool.
What's your favorite season, I asked you?
Oh, my gosh, probably Asylum.
Really?
That one really gutted me, but it still is my favorite season.
It was a good season. It was really, really good, yeah. I think my favorite would have to be Hotel, though. I really like the play on H.H. Holmes.
Oh, yeah.
I remember I wrote to you guys for a quote from one that had it was practically an all-white picture, and I think the person was bleeding black tears or something. Whatever season that was, I wrote to one to a prompt or a quote for you guys. But this is like a brand new adventure. So it's a Netflix thing, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, that picture is actually from Asylum,
from
their
Asylum,
advertisements, yeah.
Yeah.
okay. Okay, since I know you've seen it, how do you have some man come in dressed in a black leather suit and not even question? I mean, come on.
Exactly.
Just totally assume it was your husband who's never put on a skin-tight black leather suit before is suddenly in your room in somebody else's sweaty leather suit that you found in the basement. Uh-uh.
I would agree. For that story, I think they were saying that the people, they were hypnotized, the house itself, the ghosts hypnotized, kind of putting them in a trance.
That's
where she thought it was her husband. That was in the suit.
They did show when, like, from her point of view, she was seeing him. But it's just freaky. And I hear it gets freakier as it goes, so.
Yeah.
It does.
I was going to say, the Amityville, that hypnotized Lutz.
Yeah.
And what's his name, the guy before?
DeFeo,
yeah, to kill his family.
Yeah.
So, just saying, don't want to live there.
Yeah.
Catch him, kill him.
Yes.
I'm looking at the picture of Barney and Betty Hill. They're talking about seeing a spherical shape zigzagging across the sky before it happened, too.
Interesting. Let me see.
Did we lose Hatter?
No, the picture.
I don't know. He's awfully quiet if we didn't.
I'm here.
Cool.
I got something moving around out back. I don't know what it is.
Bigfoot.
It's an alien.
Well, I think the fence guy... Fence guys were here today, and but I don't think they shut the gate.
Should have left your tinfoil hat on, Hatter. When you see him, tell us if he's green. Just yell yes or no as they're beaming you up like Scotty on Star Trek, and let us know if they're green.
Actually, in the Dreamcatcher by Stephen King, they're gray.
Mm.
Dreamcatcher. I don't know if I saw that one.
Well, that's a good one.
Stephen King.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Morgan Freeman's in it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think who else.
I don't know. I never saw it with you.
The guy from Homeland. The ginger guy from Homeland's in it.
Yeah, but I don't know his name.
The guy from My Name is Earl is in it.
Yeah, I know who, but I'm brain farting on the name.
That's all I'm picturing right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. book too.
Yeah.
That one, it makes you think that's the way it would happen, actually. I don't know, Hatter, have you ever seen Dreamcatcher?
Is that the toilet?
No, I don't think I have.
The toilet monster is in that, yes.
Yeah.
But, I mean, when the alien thing first started, the one thing, these guys were all in a cabin out in the middle of the woods on a hunting trip, and all of a sudden all the animals in the forest are just running like hell past their cabin, and they're watching, wondering what the hell's going on.
Mm-hmm.
That's because the aliens were landing.
Well, their first mistake was even stopping to wonder. If you see that kind of animal action, you better run yourself. You know something's wrong.
You think I better go? Perhaps you should.
Yeah.
But then the movie would have been over.
Yeah. Very true. Well, they could have did some creepy stampede action where you trip and they just keep on running, squish people into the ground, or they could have went, I don't know.
Yeah, a bear stops to help you up.
Yeah. I just remember there's, I don't know if I can spoil it or not, but the whole thing was them trying to, the aliens are trying to taint the water supply,
yeah,
in order to give everybody on Earth this, it wasn't a disease, but it was something that would allow them to populate Earth. It was really interesting.
Found my red nose. They think you're a stoplight. See the picture?
Yeah. Oh, let me get there.
Yeah. God, it looks a little like Rudolph with the nose.
Oh, I remember that one, yeah.
Yeah.
The picture right above you, those are the guardians on Hope Memorial Bridge in Cleveland.
Oh.
If you wanted to take a look at them.
Oh, yeah.
And that's Progressive Field behind there, so.
I did not know that.
Guardians.
It's okay.
You could have went Centaurs, Sentinels, the
Guardians.
Where are they guarding?
Yeah, it's going to be different.
They're in Cleveland. Where are they guarding?
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess Washington hasn't picked a name and won't. I think they should. Well, it's like the California Angels are now called the California Angels of Anaheim.
Ooh.
Okay.
Yeah. Can't say California Angels. You gotta say California Angels at Anaheim.
Yeah.
Tradition.
They're still the California Angels to me. I don't think they'll ever change.
Yeah.
Well, it all started with the Takita Capital One Bank of America Fiesta Bowl. No, it's the Fiesta Bowl.
Yeah.
AT&T, Pac Bell, Monster, Peach Bowl. Okay.
Everything's named that now. Everything's got a business name to it now, just like Progressive Field. I still call it Jacobs Field.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
how many buildings had AT&T on it or Monster? Come through out here today.
Yeah.
You know, probably somewhere on another planet, there's some alien friends doing their own podcast talking about those destructive humans. Do you think they're real? You think they're really out there?
Yeah, they've intercepted our early radio transmission, so all they're getting are
know, Lone Ranger and the Shadow. Probably scared of hell.
Have you ever seen the movie Galaxy Quest?
Oh, yeah.
I want to say yes.
That's when the aliens thought that the science fiction show was real. So they grabbed the whole crew from that show and brought them to save them. Mm-hmm. Tim Allen was it was a big spoof on Star Trek. It was really cool.
Yeah, Sigourney Weaver. Was it Sigourney Weaver, too?
Yeah, and Alan Rickman. And
I
what's
think
his
I
name? The dude that plays Monk.
Hmm?
The guy who plays Monk.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he was the android. Tony.
He was so cool in that.
Yeah.
No, Starfighter. Starfighter's another one.
That's right. That was my video game, wasn't it? The kid was so good at the game that they brought him up to... Yeah, I did see that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Starman with Bo Bridges.
Oh, yes. God.
And
who was it?
There was one other one. Oh, yeah. Ice Pirates.
Oh, my God. I love that movie. I haven't seen that in so long. Mm-hmm. Ship's got herpes.
Yeah. You know what? Space herpes.
Yeah. The guy leans against the wall and he says, "What's going on?" Ship's got herpes. You real quick get away from the wall.
Contagious. It's contagious.
Yes, Spaceballs.
Clearly a favorite at the Andrade household. So, you know how I'm always talking about the backyard insect symphony?
Yeah.
When I write poems. What's this? Tell me if you can hear this.
Crap.
Do you hear any of that?
No.
You're talking to me.
Damn. They are so obnoxiously loud that I'm surprised that they're not drowning me out on the radio.
What is it?
Now there's a plane. Well, I'll put the phone out the window more, but now it won't matter because there's a plane flying over, and that's all you'll hear anyway. And all that time I waited for the labor's air conditioner to shut off so that I could see if you could hear it. Wow, that's flying low. The hell? The aliens are coming for me. Do you hear that?
Yeah, I hear the plane.
Jesus. I mean, you can't imagine how low it is. Come on, keep going.
Yard.
I know, right? There's not quite enough room in there. Too many trees. But there's a moth flying loop-de-loops, and it's as big as a hummingbird. It's the biggest moth I've ever seen here. Never mind, another person's air just kicked on, so it's all going to get drowned out anyway. I just wanted you guys to hear. I mean, they are so loud.
We got frogs or crickets?
That's aliens, the insects in the world. They're just watching us and laughing.
Yeah.
Cockroaches are aliens.
Should hurt
they
sky
will
last
go
night.
To Earth one day.
Yeah.
Yeah. The report when people see or have contact with the reptilian species, never good.
Well, yeah. I mean, those are the ones you don't want. I mean, remember when Captain Kirk fought one and it ripped his shirt off? No, I had to go there, but. But yeah, I've heard of that. I don't know if anybody's ever been abducted by those. I don't know if that would come out. They probably don't.
Travis, Fire in the Sky, I'm sure they enhanced the part where he's above the ship. But they look like little grays, but they got a reptilian type of face. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fascinating subject. You know, in order to save species, they say eventually something's going to take the Earth out, right? Some comet, some asteroid or something.
Sure,
I mean, eventually. So how far do we need to be technology to feel safe? I mean, apparently we can't move the planet, so
no.
We have to build another moon.
We need to at least have the ability to detect it and the means to move off the planet, or the ability to have, like, you know, with the Enterprise, raise shields, that kind of thing.
Shields, yeah. If we could have followed Tesla, we'd probably have that technology by now. Instead of being greedy. You know, and that's what disappoints me, is that when a new technology comes around, it's gobbled up patent-wise by the big corporations and then sat on. They don't want to change from oil, from gasoline engines and cars. Well, the technology's there to run it on water if you had to. Any kind of alcohol you could carburate to move down the road. But they eat up the patents. They take the patents, and it's, they're not shy of if you're getting in the way, they'll just get rid of you.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a good chance. I mean, you know. Yeah. And the electric cars that didn't go off until everybody was in position, the right people were in position to make the most money.
Yeah.
And Elon Musk sort of put a screw into that, jumping the gun, I think, but he proved that it can be done. The only thing is, it's not what it quite is. You know, it takes too much carbon to build the batteries.
Yeah.
Oh, nice try. I don't know.
I'm not sure.
We lived in the hybrid. The hybrid? Call the cars?
Yeah, I don't like the idea that it, because I hear them, you know, you hear them at the stoplights. The cars actually turn off while they're at the stoplight, and you hit the gas and it starts back up. What's going to happen when that starter goes?
I don't think it has a starter. It's just got a condenser or some kind of capacitor.
Yeah. It's interesting. See, Deb dropped your poem.
Sorry.
But I'm not sure if you want to read that one or if you wanted to read the other one. I thought.
Well, if I only get to read one tonight, I'd rather read my They Live one, because that one I'm proud about. This one was just one that kind of... was being silly with.
Well, you have to be silly if you give me the picture.
You want the other one?
You could always just read them both, but let me grab the one that you like, that way in case conversation gets carried away again. You've had it. He put the glow nose one up. At least I went and dug out the one where you didn't have the silly nose on. Okay.
It's back in June. You and I, for the mortuary, we did They Live.
Mm-hmm.
And I had seen that a few times over the years, but back in June was when I
sat and watched the whole thing in completion. And I'm glad that I did, because we learned some cool facts there. And I will say that, as I said in my author's notes, the lines that have a diamond shape by it are lines from the film They Live. So in case anybody's reading it, they'll know that. Anybody listening won't know that unless they're well acquainted with the film. But I call this Suppress, Conquer, Wake Up. Train rolling through as rain pelts the asphalt. Portly man of a foghorn speaking upon graffitied wall. Things seem to just dry up. Are the rich and powerful blind to truth? Masters, wake up. Golden rule, he who has the gold makes the rules. Blow on one's trumpet and toffee-nosed charcoal-stained lies. Greedy, like the cat that got the cream and whiskers. Upon money-grubbing, laurel sold. Sedated. Cattle, bred for slavery. They live, we sleep. Sunglasses blur in white lines. Obey. Mary and Xerox. Caribbean. No independent thought. Men's apparel. Closed for business. Consume. Signs of subliminal messages designed to control. Aliens in suits, models on the catwalk. Sleep. Formaldehyde face, pouring perfume on a pig. I've come here to chew bubblegum and kick some butt, and I'm all out of bubblegum. Livestock, punch time clock, spill the blood, get one's mitts on, and grease in the palm through wolfish, tyrannical tactics. Annex the rack up to silence. Bum steer, screw over. Betray your principles. Slash and burn. Monopolize. Wake up. End poem.
They live.
I love that movie.
Did she was
At first I was feeling that THX-1138. Remember that?
You have never seen
No.
I haven't seen that one.
I think it's Spielberg's first or second. I think Duel was his first TV movie. Duel, and then
yeah.
I think THX-1138. Or that, maybe that was a George Lucas. That could have been a George Lucas. But it depicts the future, sort of combines in the year 2525 and from this poem. But they don't say anything in THX-1138 about any livestock. Certain signs of well necessary designed to control aliens and suits.
Aliens
so,
and
so, suits. So who's the I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. Is that a perfumed pig?
Yeah, that's what it says.
Well, you can't see it line for line. But, yeah, that was a funny scene.
Yeah, because he's wearing the sunglasses so he could see...
Who's the alien?
The alien, and she's primping herself up in a glass. And he says, that's like pouring perfume on a pig.
That's right. I remember that. Yeah, the picture.
I've got one that can see.
Yeah. I think that you did awesome with this one, Kay, that the descriptions and details, especially right from the get-go, train rolling through as rain pelts the asphalt. You could hear the sound of the rain. So you were like a for all the senses all the way through. And the little... To coin their own phrase, the little subliminal messages through here are really cool too, like the Mary and Xerox, Caribbean. It's just like, I don't know, training you need to get married down, and you need to go on your honeymoon, and then you need to get your little job, and then you don't forget to smile, formaldehyde face. So it was like really, really cool, and I'm picture in the different faces that you could see when Roddy Piper had the sunglasses on. That is the right one, right? Roddy Piper's movie?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you did an amazing job with this.
Thank you. It's
yes.
a cool film.
It is.
It's funny how the subliminal messages everywhere, because he had a pretty picture of the Caribbean, you know, saying, go visit the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. But when you put the glasses on, all you see are the words marry, reproduce.
Yeah.
Every time you put on
yeah.
the glasses, it would say something that would take away from the beauty.
Yep.
And supposedly they've been doing that kind of stuff to us in TV commercials and movies for years and years and years. They just go by so fast you don't even realize you saw them. And they're just, they, you know, conspiracy theorists say that there's subliminal yeah. messages all through. Could be true.
Yeah.
Could be false.
Yeah.
Well, that is a way of controlling the masses. That's been proven, and that's a scary thought when you're being manipulated and altered your brain patterns and what you think, how you think of things, and you don't even know it.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. What year did they live come out?
I thought it was 88 or 87.
I just wonder, because I'm wondering what year Stephen King wrote The 10 O'Clock People.
I've not heard of that one.
1988.
Okay, yeah, 10 O'Clock for the movie. 1993 was The 10 O'Clock People. Yeah, Stephen King wrote a short story called The 10 O'Clock People mm-hmm. that was kind of like They Live, only the 10 O'Clock People were smokers.
Yeah.
And because every place was no smoking, they'd have to wait till their break to smoke. And because they were waiting so long in between cigarettes, the mix of nicotine in their bloodstream actually caused a chemical reaction where they were able to see who were aliens
oh.
and who weren't.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Could be.
Wow. You never know.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Nightmares and Dreamscapes book.
Oh, okay. I didn't read any of this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you imagine going around, if you want to see him smoke this? Right, buddy.
Keep smoking, buddy.
Yeah, I'll pass.
Well, I'm hoping to be abducted again soon. This time I'm going back with him. This time I'm going back with him. Don't drop me off here. Hell no, I'm going with you. I'm going freaking with you.
Yeah. Yeah, you can keep me.
Four!
It was long enough, Pat.
Stop that.
You need to tell us what they're doing to you when you disappear. You keep, denying that proving, but I don't know.
Playing gin, what do you think? That's what I need to go check it. Yeah.
Well,
can't figure out why I win at tic-tac-toe every time.
You do? Is that what the aliens are helping them out? So listen, I wrote you a special pink alien poem for tonight.
You did.
I put it on the board. Make sure that you notice that in the author's notes, there are cows being abducted by aliens. anyway. Do you see the link, Hatter?
I'm getting it up. I got, yes, I do. Yep.
Cool. Okay. It's called the Saltwater Taffy Seductress Spa Treatment. Here we go. Meet the maiden from a land of orchid lights, dwelling on the planet with the cameo moon, with an ocean made of bubblegum cocktails, pomegranate sand, and a blackberry lagoon. Her pink flamingo wings show flecks of glitter on apricot-laced wings with almond highlights, and white and periwinkle and plum-tinted tips, carrying her all around the world on air flights. Spacecraft are commanded to seek plump cows. Now they hover over the dairy farm down on Earth. As tractor beams transport fat bovine to the ship, herding them into the hay and alfalfa field birth. She eats watermelon slices and cherry lollipops, served for breakfast, and then with lunches too. But as her tummy growls for the hot supper food, the meal that she is out hunting for now is you. To fillet as you weep and chop you into stew. Then she'll drink the crimson blood you spew. Milk from the teeth of civil invention. Shaking her hips as she slices throat in a blink. Warm red blood is blended with vanilla ice cream. Standing handmade milkshakes that she drinks. The maiden nourishes her pastel skin tones by sipping frosted concoctions in powder puff pink. Girl's got to maintain the healthy glow in her complexion any way she can, right?
This is the primary reason why we have to arm the cows.
Yeah?
Cows with guns.
Cows with guns.
That is the primary reason.
For some reason, I was expecting you to go with the strawberry milk instead of the chocolate milk, you know, with the blood and the milk. I thought we were going with the strawberry Nesquik.
I remember that.
Chocolate? No, because I was good at making. Oh no, it's concoction, not chocolate. Because no, I was going to go with the strawberry. There was something I don't know why I needed that powder puff pink because it seemed feminine.
Yep.
And but yeah. But
like, that works.
I need the blood to mix with the milk to get the pretty pink color. So.
Yeah. Sure.
Maybe I'm hungry.
Think, you know, they're pulling all them cows up there, not to eat, just to get the milk, because they want to eat people instead. Eat the people and drink the milk. Eh?
There you go. Eat. They just need the milk mixed in with the blood to make it pink. Oh, and anyway.
That's right.
Fat and docile, big and dumb. They look so stupid, they aren't much fun. Cows aren't fun. We eat to grow, grow to die. Die to be ate at the hamburger fry. Cows well done.
Cows well done.
Nobody thunk it. Nobody knew. No one imagined the great cow guru. Cows are one. He hid in the forest, read books with.
Okay, that's 40 seconds. I didn't feel like going and looking up information, so I could only do a snippet.
You
get the
drift? Cows are one. kind of grand fun.
Yeah, well, I will say real quick that, yeah, the picture is cool. I like the pictures that are in the beginning and at the end. But, yeah, you bring in a lot of cool elements here because bubblegum cocktails sounds like it could be sugary sweet. I like how you bring in the nods to the colors pink and red, but also bring in purple, too. But then you bring in, yeah, as the one picture says, cow is being abducted, and then watermelon slices and cherry lollipops. Those sound good, but I'm not sure about the bloody ice cream. This is a wicked cool there.
Thank you, Ken. You mean you've never had a pink milkshake that wasn't strawberry?
I've only had strawberry.
Mine too, just saying.
Thank you.
I'm hungry. Yeah. What about you, Hatter?
I wanted to go on. I wanted to go on a ghost tangent, but I came across that pink alien, and I had to go there. She made you hungry? I know. You want one of those pink powder puff milkshakes, huh?
Yeah.
Picks up that Hatterly complexion and put the glow back in your cheeks.
Yeah, I love milkshakes. I absolutely love them. And I'm sad to say that I'm becoming lactose intolerant.
Oh,
no. You know what you need to do?
Soy milk.
No. What you got to do is like my MB did.
Yeah.
My MB loved cabbage roll.
Oh, no.
But cabbage rolls didn't love her, so she would sit on the toilet while eating the cabbage rolls. That would solve all the problems.
Well, I was going to be a teeny bit more practical and suggest that you pick up a box of lactate tablets first, but you could go with Stephen's plan.
Hey, I'll tell you a story about my in-laws. Check it out. I hated going over there for the holidays, but I did it because it was my wife's family. And this is what was like her older sister and her father thought this was funny. Thanksgiving or Christmas, we have the meal. Now they would cram on an eight setting table, that's crammed 10 people on there. Plus, there's no room. It was uncomfortable. Blah blah blah. But one holidays, Sherry's sister comes up with this Beano, and says, squirting it on your plate. Well, what the hell? What the hell is that? I don't want any of that. Then it was like, you know what Beano is, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So before,
tell me what you know, okay. Piss me off, man. Can't watch sports. Now I got Beano something on my food. anything to ruin my day. Anything to ruin my day.
Beano stopped the turkey burn.
What's that?
It said Beano stops the turkey farts.
Oh. Yeah, ain't nothing friendly about that. Yeah. Oh, what right was it? I put the line in like a church-born fart.
Church-born.
I can't remember.
Born fart.
This word for it. I can't remember what other.
Interesting.
Almost took it out.
Yeah. It's like the cardinal mm-hmm. sins, right? Farting in church, farting in an elevator.
Please.
Do you know in some towns you can get arrested for farting in church? It's actually against the law.
Yeah.
And so it should be.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Because you can't acknowledge it. You can't freaking run from it.
You can't laugh at it either.
Yeah, I know.
I was sick of Dennis Miller.
And also with you.
Dennis Miller, one of his stand-ups, it cracked me up. He talked about that and said that, I can't remember how old he said his kid was.
Yeah.
He said, my 5-year-old kid, he thinks farts are hysterically funny. You know why? Because farts are hysterically funny.
Yeah.
They can be. Depend on the context.
You know they were. When you were a kid and your dad said, pull my finger, you know it was going to happen, but he still pulled it anyway.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I must have been raised on the other side of the tracks because I never was asked to pull my dad's finger.
Never? Really?
No. None of my uncles either. I don't know. I missed it, I guess.
You were so deprived, Hatter.
Yes, you have.
It's an amazing trick.
That'll save the earth. Yeah, when an alien comes down, they say, pull my finger. Run like hell.
Run like hell, yeah. Whatever it is, it clears the room.
Exactly. I don't think that there was a grandchild in my family that didn't get tortured to pull his finger, and then they would and then they would say, "Ew, Papa."
Maybe they knew I wasn't gonna buy it. I'm buying a pointer. Well, pull your own finger.
Yeah.
So like I'm scared of the picture in Stephen's poem, just saying.
Are you ready? Yeah. We come in peace, bend over. Yeah. First off, I will have to say that the punchline at the end is not mine. It was a comedian named Robert Schimmel that inspired the punchline. So this is called, "You want to what? You say you come in peace, and you show me round your ship, enticing purple liquor. Sure, I'll have a sip. Then you take me to a room that looks like a doctor's office. You say I need a physical. It won't hurt, you promise. Strip down to my skivvies, a slight chill in the air. Nipples could cut through glass as I stand in underwear. Now you have a strange device. You want to put it up my what? If you think I'll let you do this, you surely are a nut. You say that it is needed to see if there's blood in my stool somehow. Well, if you do use that thing, I'll make a prediction right now." End poem.
Yeah, I'll make a prediction too. Oh my gosh! Yeah, I love how it's just calmly. Now you have a strange device. You want to put up my what?
I didn't know the skivvies had two V's.
I don't know. Does it look right?
Yeah, I guess it is. Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's a great subject for parodies. Yeah.
You got my what?
Yeah. No, thank you.
And Stephen is correct, it does have two V's.
Yeah, it does. Good. Otherwise, I'd have a typo sitting there for 2 years.
Oh, there's not two V's?
It
is two Bs.
Yep.
No, he was just saying if it was, it would be a two-year-old typo.
Oh, okay.
By this point, he don't give a two.
I love these. If your abs used to host sponsor a lot of kind of contests and for shows and parodies, I'm fine.
Yeah, I won gold from him for doing a parody on Take Me Home Country Road. And the reason it sticks out in my mind so much is because there was a lot of really good parodies in that particular contest. So he took the ones that he liked the best to his wife and said, hey, listen to these. And she picked mine. So I thought that was really, really awesome. And it stuck with me anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought he was going to maybe pop in. Is it his window closed already?
Well, I'm sure his wife's back. And I don't know. I have a feeling he's going to sleep a little sooner than he used to. And maybe that's part of it.
Yeah, I think so.
As for bacon, fried potatoes, two eggs scrambled, peanut butter waffles. Yeah.
I've heard that one before. You did that once, Griff, I think.
What?
Yeah, when she's talking about it. I think I read that.
I brought it to a show last year, and it was originally for a contest almost 4 years ago.
Made me hungry.
I know. I couldn't keep going because, like, there's eggs and bacon and all kinds of good stuff all through here. Uh-huh. And aside from the beatings at frying pans and stuff, I don't need to be sitting here drooling.
Yeah. You know, aside from the traditional delicious holiday meals, I swear I think eggs, bacon, and hash browns is probably my favorite meal.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I love bacon.
Eggs Benedict is pretty good.
Do you know, I really don't know if I've ever had that.
Eggs Benedict?
That's got the sauce on it, right? Yeah, I don't know if I've ever tasted the Benedict sauce.
I've had it at Perkins. It was really good.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I haven't had it in a long time, but...
Order it with a patty of sausage.
Is it
ham and English muffin with an egg and then hollandaise.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
that's
what is hollandaise like? Is it creamy or cheesy or?
Yeah.
Spicy?
Are you never tasting hollandaise?
No.
Oh.
Let me see.
I mean, I've had soft-boiled eggs. I guess it tastes a little bit like that, but I've never tasted hollandaise sauce.
You can put it on, it's good on asparagus or broccoli.
Not what you eat, what you put it on. What does it taste like? Is it a creamy thing or a gravy thing?
Yeah, it's creamy.
Cheesy?
It's creamy. It's got a little lime. A lime tang to it, but it's creamy. It's like a white
lime
sauce.
Lime on eggs.
Lime. Yeah. If you make it by scratch, I think you put a little lime in it, don't you?
I'm looking at the ingredients right now for hollandaise sauce ingredients. It says three egg yolks, a tablespoon of lemon juice, a teaspoon
lemon
of Dijon. A little salt, some cayenne pepper, and half a cup of melted butter.
There you go.
Well, everything's better than bottom. But,
it's mustard. It's really good. I've had it a long time.
Yeah. You know what it is? I don't like it. If I went out to a restaurant, I wouldn't want to get the Eggs Benedict in case I didn't like it because I wouldn't want to waste the money. So I would need to go someplace with someone who likes it and would just let me, you know, take a little bit in my spoon to try the sauce before
like
they eat or something.
You know what to do,
Dan. Alfredo sauce.
What's
Alfredo
that?
Alfredo sauce is
all cheese and
milk.
Yeah. I know. I like Alfredo sauce. Yeah, I like that.
You'd like hollandaise. Is like hollandaise. The stuff that you can get in the little can or the little jar is actually pretty good. You can get the powdered stuff too. You don't have to make it from scratch.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Get the powdered envelope and you can mix it up and give it a try at home.
Yeah.
It's like less than a buck on the envelope, I think.
Yeah.
And it's just as good as if you got it homemade or whatever.
Yeah, I've used it at home before. It's not bad.
Absolutely. And it's too easy to ruin. You gotta stir it constantly. But like English muffin.
It's 1 a.m. here. We're gonna have a soft scramble for something to eat while we hang up the phone.
I know, I am too.
Yeah, same here actually. We've got one more puzzle that we got.
Yeah, we gotta read Wolf Spirit.
Yeah.
We got one more to go in 8 minutes.
Stephen can read. Oh, and Stephen, not that it affects this whatsoever, but because of it, I went in and changed a little bit at the bottom. The last line says, no drop and run poetry for this show, as it's mostly talk, just so that we don't have to if we get heavy into conversation. But
yeah,
this time
cool.
It didn't say that.
That works.
Definitely. Yeah. So maybe Stephen could read for Wolfie?
Yeah.
Surely.
That's a big one. I have not read this one before. All right, this is from Wolf Spirit. It's called Project Earth. What if we really aren't alone? Expeditionary log entry, galactic calendar date 492012. Day 1. Sent message to mothership. Environment extremely hostile. Request immediate extraction. Survival contingent upon compliance. Day 2. No reply from mothership. Indigenous life forms copious and varied. The flightless bipedal units are multi-ethnic and extremely violent. They are social and communal, but destroy each other for inanimate objects of no value. There is some form of paranoia among various social orders. The hierarchy appears centered around possession of previously mentioned inanimate objects. Day 3. Have discovered high order of intelligence, highly functional and socially efficient. According to planet's archival references, they are called ants. These beings demonstrate multi-consciousness and extreme strength. Other varied life forms pose no threat to habitat, with exception of the humanoid units. Day 4. Have extrapolated rendezvous point from mothership. Pickup to commence in 3 Earth hours. Will submit recommendations upon safe extraction. Day 5. Safely aboard mothership. Recommendation. Collect and relocate the species known as human to a remote galaxy. Prelis Nebula would be optimal placement, allowing sustenance of their psychological functions. Strongly suggest denial of their current technologies until such time as they can be re-educated on their safe and proper usage. Eradication of applicable memories will be mandatory to ensure no repetition of their undesirable characteristics following this course of action. Will reverse the effects of humanity's destruction of the planet Earth. Protecting other remaining indigenous life forms and allowing natural evolutionary progression. reprogramming of the humanoids to begin immediately upon relocation, not to exceed a period of 3 generations. In the event of failure of phase 2, recommend total elimination of life form known as humanoid. Current mission status, highly successful. Log entry complete and finalized. End poem. That's pretty freaking cool.
Yeah. Read too, Stephen. And yeah, it sounded like mission logs. Like he was actually talking to mission control, and he used enough familiar phrasing, extremely hostile, request immediate extraction, survival, contingent upon. Compliance. I think that this was a lousy poem, and like I said, coupled with the way you read it, it turned out to sound like a news report. It was really, really awesome.
Yeah, but did you remember to put the two tribbles? Did you put the two tribbles on board?
Yeah. I'll feed them.
I'll pay you back. Hey, I'd like to thank my co-host, Stephen and Andrew K. Thank you. Thank you guys for being a part.
And Andrew K.
Thank you. A yak about the paranormal or the not paranormal UFOs, and I get this, when they first came out with that tape, guess what the freaking headline was? Navy Department says UFOs are real. Well, of course UFOs are real. They're unidentified flying objects. How about the ones we can prove are metallic and we don't know that UFOs are real? That's a bird formation. That's a kite that's been taken off by the wind. That's a metal balloon at an angle used to the sun that you've never seen before. That's a UFO. Let's talk about alien ships. See how they smoke
right.
Screen the whole thing? Yeah.
So
food for
thought. That's absolutely true. But like there's 3 minutes left, and before we all go raid our kitchens, do you have any idea what you might tackle next month?
I think it's Hatter's turn to choose. Hatter's turn.
Let's go ghosts. It's a paranormal. Halloween's coming up.
I'm all for it.
Yeah, that's true. Because we went, a lot of us, it seemed to go heavily in the alien side. So the ghost side would be fun, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, the Amity Horror all over again. The possession that sparked the exorcist. Yeah, sounds good.
I changed the date, Stephen, and just wrote the word ghost. Do whatever you want to it. I just wanted to make sure it doesn't get erased this time.
Okie doke. Cool.
So can we go out with Monsters Are Real?
Oh, that's going to be stuck in my head for the rest of the night now. Damn.
Ghostbusters!
Something strange. Neighborhood. Who you going to call?
Ray Parker Jr.
Yeah. What song did you want to go out with, Hannah?
Monsters.
Monsters.
Shine Down.
Say something nice about them.
You're so good looking.
No, not me. Say something nice about Shine Down.
Oh, Shine Down. Group from Florida. Group from Florida. Good plan. Alex Smith. Shine Down.
Okay. And why is it giving me the headgames? Shine Down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pull my finger.
Crazy, man. Hey, Steven.
Yeah.
Smell this. Smell this.
Good to you. You fooled everybody. Good to you. You fooled everyone. Good to you. Now you're somebody. Good to you. You fooled everyone. Leave your weapon.
Make sure everybody was on the board.
Had a good time.
Everybody look at the board because we were talking about aliens, so we got to have our minds erased.
Okay.
So look at the board.
Okay.
You can't stay at school, don't pull any fingers.
Can you erase the part about me needing to go find something to eat in the kitchen?
I'm hungry too. I need a snack.
Love and respect you guys.
Love and respect.